Kevin's in America. That doesn't sit well with my shiur this morning, as you will see in a moment. We're going to talk about the Tzelem Elohim when commuting. One of my favorite topics, because as you know, everyone here commutes. And I don't commute, but I definitely travel. And because I travel, I've seen things in airports and on airplanes that I don't think human beings are capable of doing when they're in their hometowns. And I'll explain in a moment what I mean. And therefore, I wanted to speak about the Tzelem Elohim that a Jew should have when he travels. Because when you travel, it doesn't mean you're on vacation, and it doesn't mean that no one's looking at you. I think the opposite is true. The very fact that you have a kippah on makes that famous picture of Michelangelo come into manifestation. As you all know, Michelangelo didn't know Hebrew. So he looked in the Chumash, and the Chumash said that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second Luchot, Lo yada Moshe, Moshe didn't know ki karan or panav. We all know Hebrew. What does ki karan or panav mean?
Radiant.
His face radiated, correct. However, the word karan, if you change the nekudot under it, could also be read as teren, which means horn. And therefore Michelangelo drew a beautiful picture of a Jew with a horn, or to be more precise, with Moshe with a horn. So first of all, the fact that you wear a kippah, or you dress in a certain way, you have those, at least those virtual horns on you, and people are looking. If you happen to be on a flight where there's no minyan and you're davening by yourself, believe you me, you look even stranger than strange. And you can go on and on and on.
I thought once I was going to get thrown off the plane. I put on my tone. Everybody was like, what's that guy doing?
There's no question that there's many things that happen when that happens. The best story I know of is a guy who was putting on tefillin, and someone came up to him and whispered in his ear, are you going to shoot up here in front of everyone? So, gentlemen, people are looking. Now, why am I speaking about this week? First of all, because many of us are commuting. But second of all, we're in a parsha this week that I always feel puts a lot of responsibility on us. Because, you see, God destroyed the whole world. He let Noah live. And ultimately, after Noah lives, God basically makes a promise to Noah. What's the promise?
He'll never destroy the world again. With water.
Now, the truth of the matter is that basically puts a lot of responsibility on us. Because we are, in essence, the descendants of Noah. Every single human being alive today could be called a Ben Noah, obligated in the 7 Noahide laws, the 7 mitzvot B'nai Noah, because we're all descendants of Noah. Everything that happened before Noah was destroyed. So if we're human beings, it's because our great, 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 etc. is from Noah. Therefore, we have a responsibility not to mess up again. And if you look at the source sheet, we're talking about the side of the source sheet where it says, Tzelem Elohim when commuting, traveling. You can see the psukim where God basically allows Noah for the first time in his life, or to be more precise, he allows the human being to do something that the human being has never done before. What was that?
Eat meat.
If you look, it says like this. When God first created the world, he created Adam, he created everyone, and he said, Adam, you can call names to the animals. You can decide what their function is. You can call an elephant, but you can't eat the elephant, and you can't control the elephant. Now, all of a sudden, if you look at Perek Tet Pasuk Bet, Umorachem v'chitrechem yiyeh al kol chayat haaretz ve'al kol of hashamayim. What changes? You will now control the animal world. You can control the animal world. And therefore, kol remez asheru chay lachem yiyeh lo ochla, anything that basically is a creepy crawler, you can eat. But if you look at the context of these psukim where God allows meat for the first time to the human being, you're going to see something, in my opinion, fascinating. Look what it says here. In the middle of all this, it says that, ultimately, God says that you can't kill another human being. You can kill animals to eat them. You are not allowed to eat an animal when it's alive. That's called Ever Minachai. But God says that etimchem benefshotechem edrosh miyad kol chayad rishenu miyad adam miyad kol ish achiv shofech tam adam ba'adam damo yishafech. You can't kill another human being. And what's the reason? Why can't you kill another human being if you can kill animals? what's the difference between human beings and animals? What does a human being have that an animal doesn't? Ki b'tzelem Elohim asa et ha'adam. Every human being has a tzelem Elohim. Rabbis, orator, many, many people that deal with speeches, sermons, have made a living out of trying to define what is tzelem Elohim? What is this divine image? And if you think this morning I am able to go ahead in the next 5 minutes and give you all the perushim, I wish I could. But I'm going to emphasize one aspect of what a tzelem Elohim is this morning. And in my opinion, the tzelem Elohim basically means that you have a responsibility. A responsibility. People are looking at you differently because they expect more out of you, because you have a little bit of the divine in you. And the truth is that because we have a little of the divine in us, but on the other hand, we're like animals. We eat in order to stay alive, and we have to sleep in order to stay alive. Animals can produce the next generation, and so can we. And yet we have something animals don't have. And what is it? The Tzelem Elohim. If you look at the little chart I put after the first source, you could see that it's a constant tension that we have as human beings between our physical side and our spiritual side. We all know the famous Rebbe. I don't know who it is, because some say it was the Kutzker and some say it was other Rebbes. So I'm just going to assume it's one of the Rebbes. He had, a bekeshe. And in a bekeshe, like a suit, you have pockets inside. And as you know, in a normal suit, you have pockets on both sides. So in my suit I'm wearing this morning, one is for my palm and one is for my iPod. That's the way I know where they are when I need to take them out. The iPod's on the right and the palm's on the left. But Hasidic Rebbes, I guess, back then didn't have iPods and palms. So this Hasidic Rebbe had two notes. In one pocket he wrote the following. Look at the second one. V'techasreu mi'at me'elohim v'chavod v'adar ta'atreu. You are a little less than God. You human being are that much close, you're that far away from what God is. Why? Because you have a tzelem Elohim. It's amazing. A human being is so high up. And yet in the other pocket, what did he put? Ma'enoshki tiskerenu, or anochi afar va'efer. We're just dust from the earth. We can be killed. We can be destroyed. We can ultimately die. God never dies. So that tension between the physical side and the spiritual side is something that we go through every day. And I want to today zero in on one aspect. If you look at the chart, you can see this psukim l'kan, psukim l'chan. It basically is equal. Just look at the last one from Ne'ilah. In Ne'ilah we said, "Mutara adam mina beima ayin ki akol hevel." As you all know, Shlomo HaMelech says in Kohelet, what's the difference between an animal and a human being? How much different is an animal and a human being? They both eat, they both sleep. They're very similar. And yet, in the next paragraph in the Ila, what did we say? Ata hivdalta enosh merosh. You have made a distinction, God, between the human being and the world of animals. So that tension, spiritual side, physical side, is something we go through every day. Are we going to get mad and curse, or are we going to deal with it differently? Are we going to hit and shout, or are we going to deal with it maybe verbally with our words? It's a very huge tension. We can either be like animals, or we can let the divine image overcome the physical side. And we all know that that's what we go through every day. So let me zero in on one of the many, many manifestations of this tension. A person gets on the plane. You're on the plane with many, many others that you don't know. Anything you do there basically won't be reported back. Namely, in Shul on Shabbos, they won't say, "Do you know what Gedaliah did on the plane?" For a very simple reason. Why? No one knows him. No one knows where he lives. No one can report back. If he's in his hometown, believe you me, if he messes up, he's going to be the talk of the Kiddush. But if he, and on the other hand, if he did something extremely kind, he also will be the talk of the Kiddush. Ultimately, when you're on a plane and when you're traveling and you're in strange places, nobody knows what you're doing. Because of that, in my opinion, people who are kind and caring and giving, all of a sudden become egocentric when they're on planes or when they're traveling far from where their hometown is. And let me put it into a beautiful Gemara. As you all know, before you go on a big trip, what do we say? Tefillat HaDerech. If you look at the last source on the page, Brachos Daf Kuf Tet Amud Bet into Lamed Amud Aleph, you could see there was two suggestions as to what Tfilat HaDerech should be. What's the text that we say? The first suggestion, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Chisda says, you say Tfilat HaDerech, Yir Atzom Lefanecha Hashem Elokai, please, may it be your will, my God, Shetolicheini L'Shalom, Etatzdideini L'Shalom, Etasmicheini L'Shalom, etc. Amar Abaye, Abaye comes against Rabbi Yaakov in the name of Rav Chisda and says, I don't like that prayer. I'm going to suggest a different one. Look at this page and tell me, what does he suggest different from Rav Yaakov in the name of Rav Chisda? Huh? Ah, very good. It's in plural, it's not in singular. Instead of saying Shetolichein li l'shalom, you should say Tolichein nu l'shalom. Make it in plural. Don't just daven for yourself, daven for everyone. Very nice. What is the word he uses to introduce his suggestion? If I was Abaye, you're in the study hall. This is a protocol of the study hall. You're in the study hall. You're in the Beis Medrash. Reb Yaakov, in the name of Rav Chisda, gave a suggestion. You know everyone's tired. You want to get home. What would you say? Say it in plural. Let me put it to you in Hebrew. Neimra b'lashon rabim. Okay? But the Gemara doesn't say that. When Abaye comes and suggests his suggestion, he says, Le'olam l'shatef inish nafshe b'hade tzibura. A person should always intertwine himself with the public. What a beautiful statement. A person should always make himself part of the public. He didn't just say it in plural. He could have said that. We know that all our prayers are in plural. Most of them are. What did he say? A beautiful poetic statement. Make yourself part of who you're with. Make yourself part of the public. And I think Abaye didn't say it stam. When a person is traveling, nobody's looking. Only God and you. All the people around you, they're going to see you once, and they're never going to see you again. It is so easy to let your physical side overcome your spiritual one and become egocentric. How can you become egocentric? Cut in line. Push someone to get your luggage first, or to get the good. Everyone knows there's box seats in front of the, what's the name of the thing the luggage comes out again?
Carousel.
The carousel. There's the box seats for the carousel. That's where the luggage comes out, and you could see it for the very first moment that the luggage makes its scene on the face of the airport. Or you can move a little bit in, and the seats there cost a little less. The luggage comes down the carousel, and you might have to not see your luggage at the first moment it comes out, but God forbid it might take another 30 seconds for you to see it. And 30 seconds in an airport is vital time. I've seen people push at that moment. I've seen people do things that they would never do at home. Why? Because no one's looking. Let me give you another example. There's a certain flight that takes off from the United States and arrives in Israel at 7 o'clock in the morning. If a flight arrives at 7 o'clock in the morning, savir lahaniach, that the people on the plane didn't do what yet?
Daven.
On the plane, it is always so simple to make a minyan. Why? Nobody's going anywhere. And we all know making minyans on planes is a very problematic thing in and of itself. It can cause a big chilul Hashem, and you got to be careful with it. That's not the topic today. I'm just saying in parentheses, be careful with it. It might be better not to daven with a minyan on a plane. But in the airport, you're waiting for your luggage. Waiting for your luggage. What is the big deal to make a minyan at that moment? 7 o'clock in the morning, majority of the people didn't daven yet. The halacha is you're not supposed to do anything in the morning before you daven. Have you ever tried making a minyan there? What is your chances of success? Dov says none. Why?
Depends on how long it takes your luggage to get out.
Everyone wants to get out of there. There's like this, I can't explain this psychological sick thing in airports. You have to get out of there as fast as possible. And we all know the feeling. Have you ever traveled without luggage? I've done it once or twice. It's a great feeling. You get off the plane, 10 minutes later, after passport, you're out of the airport. Oh! You can be home within the hour of landing. So what?
So what if it takes another 20 minutes in which you davened with a minyan, like a mensch, in the airport, not, in this particular case, doing the isser of doing things before davening? But you can't do it. Why? Because people on planes are egocentric. Because no one's looking, and no one's going to see you again, and usually no one recognizes you, and therefore you can allow yourself to do what you want, when you want, and how you want to do it. Comes Abaye and says a beautiful statement. The tefillah haderech has to be in plural, but it's not just change it from singular to plural. Look at the way he changes it. Le'olam l'shatef inish nafshei b'hadei tzibur. Make yourself part of the tzibur you're with. Someone needs help with their luggage, you help them. Not help them in order for them to get out of the way and you can take their spice, but because it's the right thing to do. So you'll be 20 minutes late because you davened with a minyan. Let's say this is going to be a fast minyan from Baruch Hu to Aleinu. Just the parts where you have to daven with a minyan because people are tense and they want to get out. 20 minutes late, but you got a minyan and you davened like a mensch in the airport before you went on with your physical things of getting your luggage and getting a taxi and getting in the car and driving, etc., etc.
Oh, she can make an argument against this. To begin with, if you're in the... if you're in the... I don't fly that often, but if you're in the luggage receiving hall, you're hard to daven like a mensch. And you can make the argument that get home, get cleaned up, shower, and then daven.
Yes and no. I understand. But I'm saying that whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing to daven in the airport versus davening at home like a mensch, the truth of the matter is, even if you can make the argument that it's better to daven in the airport, I am saying it's impossible.
It's impossible.
Try. It's impossible. Okay.
There's no place to do it.
I'm going
to
give you an example where this came home to me. Let's take the opposite. Let's take the flip side. You've checked in, you went through security, you took off your belt, your shoes and everything, you almost stripped naked, you got through the security, you got finally to the gate of the plane. The plane's boarding time is 7:05. It is now 6:45. How many minutes is that before the plane?
20.
Now we all know 7:05 on the dot they're going to board that plane. And if you're late, that's it, you missed the flight. Right?
No.
Whoever doesn't know that I'm cynical, please take a course in cynics. Gentlemen, 6:45. This happened to me. There was an oven, like Dov said. He was sitting next to me. I made his acquaintance, which is also important in airports. Be a mensch. Say hello to the person next to you. Don't be in your own little world. I mean, I get on planes. It's wonderful. There's no phones. I can really concentrate on my work and learning. I put on the iPod on the highest volume possible so I can't hear the motor of the plane. I can really totally negate the world, but you're not being a mensch. You have a sentimental him. Say hello to the person next to you. Introduce yourself. Stir up a conversation. You never know. Maybe you can mekarev the person next to you. A little bit to Judaism because you're a nice guy. But even so, be a mensch. Be a mensch. Say hello. So I say hello to the guy next to me. He's an oven. Said, you're in Avel? Have you davened Mincha yet? No. I said, listen, on planes it's hard to daven. When you board, they want you to sit down and seatbelt and leave. So let's daven now. It's 6:45. The plane lands, I don't know, takes the boarding is 7:05. 20 minutes. You can daven Bechavana Gdoila. So he says, I don't want to bother people. I said, you're in Avel. You're a Chiyuv. Allow me. And in a very nice, polite way. And I was wearing my suit and tie, so that always gives me a little more leeway with the common folk. I go up to people with kippot on and I said, hello, have you davened yet? And the majority of the people said no. And I said, would you like to join a minyan? And they said no. Fine.
There's honesty. I mean, you want them to lie to you? They're honest.
So finally, after 3-4 times, I asked him, are you going to daven be yichidus? He says, yeah. I go, why? I don't want to be the last person to board. I go, they're not boarding yet. He says, I want to be in line. There was already a line forming. Why? Listen to this. So I can get the overhead for my hand luggage right above my seat. And if I'm a little later back in line, maybe I'll have to put my hand luggage a touch back. I go, excuse me, sir, for asking. This is your own business, but you don't have to answer me. Ma nafkamina, if it's 2 seats back versus right above your seat. Gedaliah, can you figure this one out?
It's off quicker.
Yeah. Gets off quicker. At home, that person would never act this way. He was in his neighborhood. They asked him for a minion. He has 20 minutes to spare. He would join the minion. But he's in an airport. Nobody's looking. No one's going to talk about him at the Kiddush. He can be the egocentric person that he wants to be. He can allow the physical side to overcome the Tzelem Elohim that he's supposed to demonstrate. And Abaye's words should always resonate with us, whether we travel on planes and whether we travel up north or down south or wherever we go. We are still have to be part of where we are, of the people around us. And you can't be egocentric. And when you say the Tefillat HaDerech in plural, is much more than plural. It's Abaye's words, Lo'olam L'shatef Inish Nafshe Bahade Tzibura. Become part of the place that you're in. You're in a new Tzibur for 10 hours on the plane. Be part of the Tzibur. Help. Be kind. Be a mensch. Don't be egocentric just because no one's going to tell about it. So God destroyed the world, and then God recreated the world with Noah, and he said, you guys have a Tzelem Elohim, let's live up to it. When we travel, let Abaye's words resonate with us strongly. And I can just add above what I've already said, that it's a big Kiddush Hashem. If a person with a kippah is kind and polite, and allow someone that's a little tense to cut him on line and whatever. And again, between you and me, there's no nafka mina, so you check in 5 minutes later. What's going to happen? Has anyone in the history of flying has missed his flight because he was kind to someone on line?
Actually, once you check your luggage in, that's it.
Then
I can leave without you.
You got it. So you're on line, and the person in front of you is all lachutz, and they have a lot of luggage and kids, and they're crying. Let them cut you. What, just because you're alone, you can go and you're in front of them online? I'm telling you, in the makolet, you'd let them cut you, because you know them. But you're in an airport, no one knows you. You don't know who they are, they don't know where they live, they don't know where you live. You have a Tzelem Elohim. Okay? Remember Michelangelo. You have a kippah on, people are looking. And ultimately, if people are looking, try to live up to the Kiddush Hashem you can do in those moments. Be a mensch. Don't be like the rest of the travelers. Try to live up to the Tzelem Elohim. That's that, gentlemen. Pleasure.
Nothing.